This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 8th, episode 1143, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Oh my gosh, how much do I love our listeners. Go to Facebook and you will see our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I posted a picture last night. Glenn, let me back up a little bit. I take selfies with my Mustang Thor every day. I've never taken a selfie with a horse ever. But he's just so snuggly, and he puts his head, it's so giant that he puts his giant head over my shoulder, and I just have to get a selfie. So I took a selfie of me kissing him on the nose, which I'm going to call a smoochie. Is that a thing?
I don't know. We can make it a thing.
I think we have the power. You know, and people took the pictures of themselves doing different things. I'm going to call it a smoochie. And so I challenged everybody to put a smoochie picture of them and their horses. And like 25, 30 people have posted pictures of them with their horse, including Glenn and Scooter. He's so stinking cute.
It's not a smoochie, though, because he's kind of not a smoochy guy. He's a manly man pony, and he's not really into the smoochy thing.
No, he's not. He's okay. But what I think is funny is that the picture that's right next to it is Lucas, my son, kissing Edward, which was totally, he did that just because he was standing there. It was a really, really neat moment. I just happened to he did it twice. He did it the first time.
What do you have your camera out all the time? You have your phone out all the time just waiting for Lucas to do things?
Well, it's always in my back pocket. He kissed him the first time and, like, smiled at me. So I was like, oh, do it again. Hold on. And he did it again. So I got the picture. But I think
That's
it's so funny
cute.
The way that Edward is coming over Lucas and Scooter is, like, barely able to see through the bottom of the
screen. I know.
He's so tiny. I love
it.
It
is funny.
I was looking at
some of these. There's some really good ones in here, too, of some of our listeners. There's some fun ones.
Yeah, I love it. Rachel and Angela and Uta and Tammy and David and Beth. Oh, you guys, these are all so cute. Lisa and Teresa, adorable. And I Samantha posted one, and the angle of it looks like it is a freaking huge draft horse. I can't tell.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Yeah, I don't know if it is or not.
Diane actually is. I think French kissing her horse. I'm not sure. Anyway, thanks for posting those. I just love it. I like I said on there, I just want to see the love. I want to see everybody's love for their horses. So if you guys haven't done it yet, go on there and post your smoochies or your selfies with your horse. Makes me smile.
Very good.
Now, I'm sorry. I'm totally staring at the picture. So anyway, how was your day yesterday, Glenn? Everything good?
Fine.
You feeling better?
Good. Yeah, we actually, you remember, Monday? We were talking about how we are starting into rainy season here in Florida. We were talking about all the flooding up in Lexington and everything. Well, we have officially started the rainy season because the pop-up storms started last night. And if you've never been to Florida and experienced a pop-up storm, it is the most bizarre thing because we literally both jumped about a foot last night about 8:30 when out of nowhere comes this crack of thunder that was huge, number one. It was a huge crack of thunder, and there's no warning, you know, like thunder in the distance or anything like that, no lightning, nothing. Just the crack of thunder, and then the storm starts. It's the most bizarre thing, and it happens here almost every day over the summer. But last night was our first one, and literally the dog jumped about 3 feet because she hates thunder anyway, and then we all jumped about a foot because there's no warning. You know how storms usually roll across, and you can hear them coming, and, you know, you hear them in the distance, and then they get closer. That's not how it happens in Florida. It's the most bizarre thing. It really is.
Two things. Thank God you weren't on a horse when those happened. I mean, that's got to be scary when you're on a horse.
I know. And we have been outside, and you jump. I mean, you literally, your hair stands up, and you jump because it is literally out of nowhere.
Wow. Wow. And then did you put your poor puppy's thunder shirt on?
Yes, then the thunder shirt has to go on, and the puppy goes in her crate, and she shakes for an hour, and then we get our 3 inches of rain. So, but yeah, it was something else. And that was it. I mean, there was a little bit of thunder after that, tiny bit, but mostly that was that loud crack that just wakes the whole neighborhood up and rattles the windows.
Well, that's how it stays so nice and green. And from what I understand, and I'll find the article, there is a bit of a discrepancy. Ocala being where you live, and you moved from Lexington, apparently are battling with each other on which is the horse capital of the world. And
well,
I'll find that article.
That's been going on, actually, for about 20 years. They actually went to court, what was it, about 15 years ago? They sued each other, and they went to court because Ocala was saying it and Lexington claimed it. And then the judge said they could both say it, and there were certain rules and regulations. We've tried to get, like, the Tourism Bureau from each city on a show to do a show about it, and they refused. They refused because of the court order. So they're not even allowed to come on a show to talk about it.
Well, then we've got Norco, California, which, what do they call themselves? Not the horse
capital.
They're
the Horsetown, USA.
Horsetown, USA. Yeah. Which they own that one, because if you've ever been to Norco, there ain't anything else like it. I'm sorry. They own that title.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I didn't mean to open a, you know, pick a scab, apparently.
So we've lived in both horse capitals of the world. And I'm sure there's about 10 in Europe who claim that too, right? So
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Horsetown of the world. All right. Well, Jennifer, tell us what's coming up on today's show.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, break out the party favors because a listener, Shorty, got a new pony, and she's going to stop by this morning and tell us all about it on our new pony segment. And then mid-show, it's crappy lists and horsey headlines. And then finally, in the third half, Victoria Spicer has the European Report compliments of Horse and Country TV. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
My Daily Winnie is a happy birthday to Gloria Austin, who's a friend of the Horse Radio Network. And she is here in Florida, and she actually does the Horses in History segments over on the Driving Radio Show for us once a month on the David Saunders episode. And we appreciate her. Happy birthday to you, Gloria. And it looks like her boyfriend got her huge quantity of flowers, so from what I saw on Facebook. See, all these things you never knew before Facebook, right?
Okay, this is really, really good news for wild horse lovers and wild horse advocates. My Mustang Thor came from Nevada, and I think I've got now a little special place in my heart for Mustangs and Mustangs in Nevada in particular. And 166 horses were captured. 432 horses were captured by the BLM from the 230,000-acre Fish Creek herd management area in Eureka, Nevada. And they had intended to treat 102 of those mares with birth control and release them back into the area along with 84 stallions. Wow, that's a lot of stallions. But before the horses could be released, after they were treated, guess what? The local ranchers filed a legal challenge saying, you can't release those horses. They're captured. You got to keep them in the pens. And they were going to release 166 of them. And so, of course, wild horse advocacy groups and then the BLM and then the local ranchers all got into this kind of court battle thing. Well, you know what? The board is like, well, while you guys are deciding what you're going to do, we're going to go ahead and turn them loose, which, of course, I'm sure irritated the ranchers to no end. But they turned them loose, and all of the horses were released yesterday, and they're all back in the wild, and the court battle continues, and I guess they'll just go capture them again if it happens. But they realized that the 183 horses were costing over $6,000 a week in holding fees, and they're like, you know what? There's mares giving birth to foals. Some of them died. They're like, we're going to just turn them loose. And so the good news is trucks and trailers rolled out and released them all back to the area. So happiness, wild horses prevailed. They are loose. It's return to freedom. They said, this is a good day. It's time for a new direction. Instead of wasting time, money, obstructing positive solutions that'll benefit the horses, wildlife, ranchers, and the range. So basically, while you got them captured to do the birth control, just keep them in there. Don't release them. And they're like, no, we're going to release them. They're like, no, you're not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Well, they won. And wild horses rarely win. So I just had to highlight that.
How much can 100, what was 100 and some? How much can 100 and some horses eat compared to the tens of thousands of cattle they have on the ground?
Well, that's the thing. There's like no budging. And they're saying, I've heard the ranchers say that they breed like crazy, which is why they're trying to do the birth control on them. And
They aren't going to be breeding after they're tutored, right? I mean, after they had the birth control, they're not going to be breeding.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And they just want everything. They just don't want to budge. They don't want to share. And this is public land that they're grazing their animals on. And they're making money off our land, our taxpayer-paid land. And we should absolutely have a say. Apparently, there's a little stallion that has a lot of fans. His name is Sarge. And Sarge is one of the stallions that was released on the range. And more than 5,000 people signed a letter used in the fight to return Sarge to the Fish Creek. So he's like super famous, and if you read the article, it's just so incredible how passionate and what great work these people are doing to keep the wild horses free. It's really it's inspiring.
And now that you've had yours for a little bit here, has it been a month or two that you've had them?
I think about 6 weeks.
6 weeks? Okay. So now that you've had him for about 6 weeks, have you noticed any little quirks with him that you haven't noticed ever with any of your other horses?
You know what's so funny, Glenn, is it gives me goosebumps every single night. The way that my house works is that we bring the horses in the morning and we feed them and they stand in the stalls because a lot of them work for a living and they have to do lessons. And then I turn them out at night. And
that's
I've always turned out there.
So, I mean, that's the other reason they stay in there.
Yeah, exactly. But so I have to turn them out at night. And, you know, I always throw a rope around my horses, the thoroughbreds, and I take them to the pasture and I do everything. And they always just walk off. Every single night I turn Thor out, he takes off at a dead gallop and has to gallop the pasture at least twice. Like, I'm free! I'm free! Okay, where's the food? It's so funny. And he gets all the horses galloping, and so I don't know why. He just, every single night, he has to gallop the pasture a couple times.
Well, there you go. There's a quirk. There's something. But, boy, you got lucky with him, didn't you? I mean, he just hasn't disappointed you.
I am so in love, and you know, my husband's going to retire at some point from here, and we're gonna move away and probably move closer to his family. And he did say, he goes, so maybe, you know, and it's going to be several years, but he goes, maybe before we move, we can go back and get another one.
Did you explain to him that they're not all that way, that just like any other breed of horse, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't?
Well, clearly I can pick him, so he's really willing to take the chance and go. We got so lucky. He is just the coolest horse. He's so cool. And I've taken him on a couple trail rides now, and he's really doing well. He's scared of nothing. Nothing bothers this horse. He is so tough. And my thoroughbreds are the biggest weenies ever, and he's like, what? It was a miniature donkey pulling a cart? That's not scary.
Yeah.
He's so cool.
Lord knows what he's seen in the wild. Bears and alligators and rhinoceroses and
alligators.
And elephants.
Rhinos.
Yeah.
Wait till you guys see a hippo.
Yeah. In the desert of Nevada.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of horses, well, we started the segment last week. We like to call My New Pony, and we're going to get to do it again this week.
Daddy, I want another pony.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Now, just take it easy, Stokes.
And you want to buy me the pony?
Yes, I'll buy you the pony. I promise you I would.
Daddy, buy me a pony, or else...
When I grow up, I want a pony. I'm gonna ride her from dusk till dawn. I'm gonna brush her mane and feed her sugar cane and keep her in.
Well, with us right now, we have Shorty Tarpley, who's had a few ponies in her lifetime, but she just got a new one, and she's here to tell us all about her new pony. Hi, Shorty.
Hey, Glenn. How's it going?
Good. Now, you're from Texas, right?
Well, originally from Orlando, but yes, I live in West Texas. We have a training facility here where we specialize in young horse development and foundation training, so colt starting and all that new, fun, exciting stuff for performance horses. So those that have, performance goals for that youngster's future, we're usually the ones who get them going, and then they go on to have pretty cool careers later on, hopefully.
Well, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because you guys have had a lot of horses over the years, training for other people, buying, selling, that kind of thing. But yet, you were so excited on Facebook about this particular filly, and good for you to get fillies, because I really like fillies. You were so excited to get this filly, and I know you've had a lot of horses over your lifetime, so tell us about your new filly.
Well, her name is CC Revolution Theory. She's a foundation and reining bred, which is kind of where we have some goals of having 4 to 5 brood mares eventually, to have a very small breeding program so that we can kind of customize our horses' breeding for what we want to do with them, which is mainly reining and reined cow horse type of situations. And then Adam has some horses that he does ranch work on and whatnot. And that's kind of a different caliber of horse, different type of breeding. But it's gotten harder and harder to find a potential brood mare that still has some of that good, hardy foundation lines, good strong legs, good feet, and also, your good mind. But then kind of crossed with a little bit of your more modern stuff. So this filly is bred like I just couldn't have dreamed for anything better. Her mama has, within 3 generations, Cutter Bill, Poco Bueno, Doc Bart, and what was the other one? I'll think of it in a minute.
And that means nothing to us, right? Us on the English side means nothing to us.
Right.
Except for one of them. And I'll tell you the one that does mean something to us, because we read it. We do this segment on Fridays, Really Bad Ads, where we read really bad Craigslist ads. And there's one that shows up in almost every bad Craigslist ad that's a Western horse or a quarter horse, and that's Doc Bar. So explain to us who Doc Bar was.
Well, he's just kind of a good foundation for a lot of your performance, cutting, roping. He kind of goes back to all kinds of different stuff, even your Western pleasure horses. And he kind of was just a versatile guy, but.
Well, he must have had a hell of a lot of babies, because every horse out there tracks back to Doc Bar.
I think they do, or 3 bars. And the Phillies. Mama also has King. That was the other one that I was forgetting, which, again, probably means nothing to English viewers. But for us, again, just a good hearty, whatchamajiggy. So, it seems like so many of your performance horses nowadays, your more modern breeding, they don't have good feet, their legs. These horses are getting shown until they're like 6, and then they're crippled, and, that's not a quality of life for them, and now you've got a horse that you can't do anything with, so I'm pretty.
Shorty, I think it's fantastic that that's something that you're paying attention to and you're concerned about, but I'm so surprised that living in West Texas, you're not an English facility. West Texas, to me, screams English riding. Please.
There's actually very few English riders in our area, which is highly
sad. Yeah, I know.
I live in Arizona.
Same thing.
Yeah. we need more of it over here. Adam has a 4.6 horse that I'm eyeballing, hopefully to make him a jumper later. So don't tell him.
I love it. Well, good for you for looking at the foundation, not foundation breeding, but like the foundation of the horse, which is where it starts, you know, mm-hmm. from the bottom up mm-hmm. and you no hoof, no horse. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that that's something
right.
that people are focusing on. I wish thoroughbred breeders would do that more.
Right. I wish all the breeds would, you know, including,
yeah.
you know, our area of things. It's so hard to find one that really truly has good feet. So, you know, it's our one broodmare that we do have. We call her Mama Rio. She's due to drop any day. So she's kind of waddling around, but she throws really, really good feet on all of her babies. So she's not going anywhere. We're keeping her. Yeah, so we're really excited about the filly that we just got. She's pretty behind in her training. She's 5. And she's, I'm not really a color-based person, but I've never really been much of a fan of red duns. And she's actually a red dun. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm not much of a color person.
Oh, no.
Per se, but
you got
that
a
was
red,
a little different.
You got a red girl. Oh, no.
I did.
You're cursed.
I got a redhead. I am. But,
now,
yeah, so I've never owned a red dun, ever.
Have you named her?
We are calling her Theory, and I'm not really sure what her former name was. I kind of didn't ask because I just knew it was going to be a brand new beginning for her. So
yeah.
I just figured we'd just start over.
Well, her name is Revolution Theory, and she's out of Einstein's mm-hmm. Revolution. So that kind of makes sense that you would call her Theory. I'm disappointed
right.
that you didn't call her Big Bang Theory, because that's my favorite show and Jamie's least favorite show. I would have appreciated if you would have called
Big
her Big Bang Theory. Yeah, see?
Well, I thought about calling her Bang, you know, because I kind of like shorter names.
Oh, that's a bad
you know,
name for a whole
for around the barn. But I was like, Bang might not really, that might be a bad luck name. I'm not sure. So
yeah.
I went with Theory because Adam and I are big fans of Big Bang Theory. We watch it just about every night whenever we're cooking or whatever. It's always on in the background. Love it.
There you go. Good. See, I know I like you, Shorty. You know, Jennifer and I sit and watch Big Bang, and we say to ourselves, how could Jamie not like this show? It's the funniest show that's ever been on television, and we
it's
watch
great.
It like you almost every night, and then something got messed up in her funny bone along the way. Something's wrong with her funny bone. There's something goofy there. Now, will you train this horse up?
Yeah.
Will it also become a riding horse, or are your broodmares
uh-huh.
just broodmares?
Well, Mama Rio, she's just a broodmare. She's not fit to ride physically. She knocked her hip down when she was a foal. If she hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have been able to afford to buy her. So she's sound enough, you know, as far as quality of life. You can't ever tell there's anything wrong with her, but she's not sound enough to train and ride. So that type of physical pressure would make her uncomfortable. But for Theory, our new one, yes, she will be ridden and shown. She's just 5 right now. So we're going to get her going in the direction that we want. We're going to show her, and then eventually she'll become a mommy. But I'm hoping to keep riding her for quite a while, even when she's, you know, being a mommy. So in her lighter bred months, then I'll keep riding fiddling with her. So for now, she's going to be my main horse until my 2-year-old filly that we just started. Once she gets far enough along and kind of going, provided Adam doesn't swipe her from me, she'll become my main horse in front of Theory. But we're going to try to keep going with Theory for a while, but then eventually add her to our breeding program.
Very good. Well, congratulations, Shorty. It is so cool for me to hear somebody who's had so many horses and yet still get so excited about a new horse. That's
Oh, I'm so excited about her. She's great. You know, we don't really sell many horses. I think we've sold like 5 in the last 11 years. So I don't really go horse shopping very often, you know. And So it was super exciting. I haven't had to buy a horse in like 3 years.
Oh, well tell us before I let you go. Before I let you go, tell us, did you have any crappy experiences where you went out and they just were not what they advertised?
Oh, Lord, yes, yes. I went and saw one. It's been a few years back, but I went and saw one, and, oh, he was a nice-looking horse. He was bred pretty cool. He, you know, they had told me, you know, he was a little sensitive, and I was like, uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
Take that with a grain of salt. And I was like, okay, whatever. And, you know, they showed videos and photos of their kid riding this horse. We go out, they saddle him, and this horse explodes in the barn. I'm talking crazy explosion. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's totally kid safe.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, wow.
It was rough. I was like, wow, okay, peace out. Good luck with that one. Yeah, so, and they had a pretty nice price tag on that guy, too. I was like, good luck with getting that.
Yeah. Usually with those, they have them all saddled up by the time you get there and the drug's administered.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I was actually surprised it didn't happen with this one.
Now, do you guys...
But I think...
Do you, like Jamie and I, we tend to want to get there early so that they don't have a chance to, you know, play the games? Do you do that?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, but I can also tell a lot of times because just we've been around so many and seen so much interesting things. We kind of already know if they've been ridden, even if they've been washed off and dried, because they're a little too clean, you know, like at least let them roll around in the arena and dry it, you know, so they look like they're still a little dusty. But yeah, I do prefer to get there a little early if I can. So, you know, but it's a good idea to show up a little early just to kind of see what's going on.
And if you're really not sure, show up an hour early. Oh, I didn't change my clock. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't change my clock.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, like, right when the time
gets 4 months ago. I didn't change my clock yet. My watch is wrong. Oh, it must have stopped.
Oops, my battery died on my watch.
Yeah, that's right. Jordy, congratulations. Thank you so much. Give a plug for
Thank
your
you.
Farm. What is it again?
Performance Horses.
Tarpley Performance Horses. Thanks, Jordy. Good luck with this new filly named Big Bang Theory.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, probably calling her Bang was a good idea, not calling her Bang. That just Bang alone probably would be bad.
And you can't call any woman Big, so Theory was the only way.
Theory, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. You're right. Theory was the only option here. Well, good.
Absolutely.
Sounds like they're going to have a lot of fun. So far, the first My New Pony segments we've had, both of them have been out of Texas. We need to get a new state here. Well, you know, everybody up north was too busy thawing out. They weren't buying horses. So if you're getting a horse here soon, let us know, or you just got one, and we'll make sure we get you on the air. You can tell us, I love this segment.
I do, too. It makes me smile. It's so exciting. You know, if you get a new horse and you're so excited about it enough to come on our radio show, to me, that almost just guarantees the horse has a great home. You know, like... She's so excited. You're going to be taking smoochies of you and your horse.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, very good. That's cool. Let's do this. Well, you know, Jamie, I got to ask you, though. You must have done this because I didn't. I was going to play our ad for Back on Track products, and there's a sound file in here called Minion. I didn't do that. Is that something Jennifer did?
Ah! Okay, I did this just for you, Glenn. I know your love of Minions.
Yes,
right?
I love them. I want some.
Okay.
I want 10 Minions.
You want 10 Minions, and the Minions, don't you have some in your office?
I
like,
do.
On
I
the wall?
My whole wall is about 8 foot of Minions.
Okay, well, I did something special for you. Yesterday, I was outside with a student of mine, and Lucas, and we were drawing on the ground, and we were using sidewalk chalk. And so this is what happened.
Oh, do you want me to play it?
Yeah, oh, hit play, sorry. What is that, Lucas?
Minion.
Minion?
Minion.
Yeah. Say it again. What is that? What is that?
Minion.
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 Now, he can't say
Minion.
Mom yet, right?
Minion.
Yeah, Minion.
Oh, what good taste he has.
The kid literally will not say the word up, you know, like when he wants me to help. But he'll say Minion and SpongeBob. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with my child? He'll say, you know, he'll say Mama, but everybody else in the world is Baba, including
Baba?
SpongeBob. Yeah, dad is Baba, Aunt Grandma was Baba, everybody is Baba because his babysitter is Abby. So everybody's Baba, and yet he can say Minion. Are you freaking kidding me? So I just thought you would think my son has good taste.
He has good taste. We'll get him watching Big Bang Theory before you know it. He'll be a Sheldon fan.
No, he won't. We do not watch shows with laugh tracks, and that is what the Big Bang Theory
no,
is.
No, I'm telling
tracks.
You, there's an audience. There's an actual audience.
Sure. They tell you when to laugh, Glenn. That's why you laugh. Don't be sheep.
All right, let's hear from Back on Track Products. We actually caught up with Bo a couple years ago to talk about all the different products, and we haven't heard from him lately, so let's hear all about the leg wraps at Back on Track. And then we're coming back. I have some crappy lists for you that we're going to do today, so it should be fun. Well, hi, Bo, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Bo, I wanted to talk to you this week. You know, a couple weeks ago we talked about using the mesh sheet and how that really covered the back and, you know, a larger portion of the horse itself. And then last week we covered the saddle pad to use when you're riding. I wanted to talk to you about the leg wraps today. When should you use the leg wraps? And you have a couple of different kinds.
Yes, all of our leg wraps work the same. It's best result is to use it overnight. If you don't have them in, indoors overnight, you can put them on a couple hours a day and you will see some effect, but that's the result you will have for overnight.
So these are not wraps that you would put, you would turn them out in? It's better
no,
to...
No, okay. Indoor wraps. Yeah.
Okay, so all of your wraps are these particular ones are indoor. And what benefits do we see to the legs?
You're going to see that the legs tighten up because of the increase of blood circulation and the legs are going to be tight and cool, wind puffs, disappear or get softer, especially horses who stock up at night, you will see a big difference with this kind of wraps on.
So it doesn't really matter what discipline we're doing. They're going to benefit almost anybody, whether English or Western or trail riders.
Oh, any horse will be helped on this. Because the horses stock up in the legs is because of poor blood circulation, and our leg wraps, the increased blood circulation 50% in second of accounts.
Do you see them being used more front legs, back legs, or all four?
Most people use all four, but the horse usually stuck up in the hind before they stuck up in front.
Okay, so if you're going to get two, they could also rotate them if they had a pair, or are there separate sizes for front and back?
It's separate sizes, come 12, 14, and 16 inch. And some people want all the four leg wraps, and you know, they help the horses, of course, if you can wrap all four legs to stay sounder.
All right, cool. And you can find out more information on the Back on Track leg wraps. You can find that at backontrackproducts.com, along with all the other products. And we've talked about the mesh sheets and the saddle pads, and we're going to continue talking about other products as we go down the road here. Well, thank you again, Bo, for continuing to be a sponsor of Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
And that is Back on Track Products. You can find all of their products there at backontrackproducts.com and also follow them on Facebook. We appreciate Bo being part of the show. You know, we were talking this morning, and you know, some of the things that we talk about here are really first world problems, aren't they, Jamie? I mean, you know, the fact that we can have horses and we enjoy them, and it is really a privilege and a privilege. We're lucky to have them, and we're lucky to be able to have them. And, you know, the problems that we end up having with them are first-world problems, right? So,
well, it's a first-world problem, for an example, is when I was at the Monty Roberts Clinic, and this teenager behind me was like, oh, my gosh, oh, and I turned around like, what's wrong? I can't get my screensaver on my new phone to change. I'm like, that.
That's
the first
world
problem.
Yes. Well, I have a list of a bunch of other top annoying first world problems that we all go through right now. It's so funny that you said that, because that's probably on this list. So here's some top annoying first world problems that we all have. This one's tough, especially if you own a recliner. Do you guys have a recliner, like on your couch or something?
We have one of those big couches. Yeah, it's like a wraparound couch.
Yeah, okay. And then you lay on that, and all of a sudden, your remote is just too far away to reach, and you have to get up. Now, that's a first-world problem. But, boy, if I'm on the recliner, and I've just got the recliner back, and I got the cover on, and then I look over and go, oh, damn. And then you have to go.
It's so far away.
And it's even worse if the cat has just settled down on top of you, too, and he's finally quiet. Like, oh, now we got to move the whole family just to get the remote. And you can't do it without the remote. I mean, you can't do that. How about you order pizza and it's late? That is,
And when we say things like, oh, my God, I am starving to death, the pizza's late. Yeah, you're not starving to death. That's a first world problem.
That's true. And if you think about it, how cool is it that we can make a call or place an order online now, and in 20 to 30 minutes, our food shows up at our door? I mean, that's just amazing, right? and if it's 5 minutes late, then...
I got to tell you, Glenn, I don't think it's amazing. I realize how much work it is, because I was a delivery driver when I was 17 years old. Yes.
Were you a pizza girl?
No, I delivered cheesesteaks. I worked for the Philly Connection. It was short-lived, maybe a couple months. I was a delivery driver and realized how awful that job is. And so
You were a vegetarian delivering cheesesteaks?
Yes. You see the irony here? That's why the job did not last. And that is why I tip delivery drivers a lot, because 50 cents a delivery ain't going to pay the bills.
Oh, and that was probably the days before GPS, is when you actually had to find the damn house in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. So your pizza delivery driver, turn on the lights outside the house, open the door when they bring it, and be nice and tip them a lot. There you go. That's my tip.
Even a vegetarian was delivering cheesesteaks. How about the Wi-Fi? Now, we changed ours because of this problem. And you know when you go to a friend's house and you say, oh, can I have the Wi-Fi code? And they hand you this piece of paper that's like a foot long with 88 characters on it. Wi-Fi codes are always long. Now, I actually know how to change it, so I went in and changed ours to something much shorter. But
can you come to my house and change ours? This is such a first world problem. Oh, the Wi-Fi password to get free internet wherever I go is just too long.
I know. It's true, though. It's true. Oh, my phone broke, so I'm using my backup. And I don't, you know, having a backup phone is a luxury in the first place. But, I don't think I have a backup. Do you have a backup phone?
You know what? Lucas threw my phone in the horse's water trough the other day, and I actually was able to use his. I got him an iTouch, and I was able to text message through the iTouch because I made it go through the cloud. Again, first world problem. My gosh, I had to use an iTouch and like text message and Facebook via an iTouch to make phone calls. It was terrible. You know what I use my backup for, the iTouch or the iPad, is I use the Find My iPhone app all the time, because I always leave my phone on silent and then I lose it. And so I'll hit the play the sound. And it'll be like, oh, it's right next to me, the phone. You know, he goes, bing,
it's in my pocket.
It's in my pocket.
Wait, use stop here. Stop here. There's a Find My Phone app?
Yes, a Find My iPhone.
Glenn, you must install that now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's like, do you know what was really cool was when Chad was driving across the country with our new truck, I kept using the Find My iPhone app because I could see where his phone was. And I'm like, you're in... You know, Dallas, way to go. And he's like, stop it, stalker. You're stalking me. And then he stalked me when I drove to Nevada and back. It's kind of fun. Find my iPhone app. There you go. This is not a list.
I wonder how many times what percentage of the time is that used for spouses to keep an eye on their spouse and make sure they're not going places they shouldn't be.
It absolutely is. And you do not know when somebody's watching you. It does not tell you. But you know what you can do is you can actually, like, say the iPhone, your iPhone gets stolen or somebody has it or you left it in a taxi cab or something. You can play sounds on it. You can from remotely, and you can also shut it down forever, you know, until you get it back.
Cool.
Yeah,
I gotta check that one. I wonder if they must have that for the Android too. I don't have it yet.
You should have that one. I'm really tired of looking for your phone. Really am.
Hey, while I'm thinking about it, because I'll forget if I don't bring it up right now. I'll talk about first world problems. You had a news story when I was out last week, and everybody thought when we posted it that it was a April Fool's joke. You had a news story about you can use an iPhone with this adapter to see to test your poop for worms. Do you remember that story?
Yes. I didn't realize it could have been a
It was on April 1st, and we posted on Facebook, and a bunch of people said, it's an April Fool's thing. And if you kind of then looked at it again, you went, oh, it could be. But people wrote to us because they heard it on the show. They're out of the University of Kentucky. They wrote to us and said, no, this is a real thing. You can have the doctor on if you want to. Isn't that funny?
That's awesome. So we're going to actually, I would have felt really stupid if it was fake because it looked real.
Well, apparently some of the listeners thought it was fake. Anyway, let's continue with our list of annoying first world problems. There are too many items on this menu. We had that problem the other day. We went to a restaurant, and there was like 12 pages. It was a new restaurant. We'd never been there before. It was a new Chinese place that's in town called Yummy House, and it's really good. It's a really good Chinese place.
Yummy.
All the horse people found it. Half the people in there had breeches on. And it's called Yummy House. And all the good Chinese places are in strip malls. This one happened to be beside a PetSmart. So you go there to the Yummy House, and the menu was like 88 pages long, and I'm going, there's just too many choices here. Is that a first world problem or what?
That is, silly. Because I never have too many choices. There's always maybe one vegetarian thing on the menu. That's it.
That's true. Yeah, you don't have that problem.
No.
I forgot to record my favorite show, so I'll have to watch it on Hulu later. Or, worse yet, if you forget to record your favorite show and you have to watch it on demand with the commercials because they don't let you fast forward through them.
Oh, God, that's a first world problem. Had to watch commercials?
I know. It was awful. The other day, Jennifer found this new show. What's it called, Jennifer? We ended up watching 6 episodes of it. I can never remember the name of it. Battle Creek is a new show called Battle Creek. And we started into it at about the 6th episode. Went, that's pretty good. So we went back and had to watch it on demand with all the commercials for 6 episodes. We got through like 4 episodes in our marathon. I said, Jennifer, I can't do this. I have to wait until tomorrow. I can't do it. Plus, the on-demand commercials, it's the same one. They have like 3 commercials that they play over and over and over. So if you do a marathon like that, you're getting hit with the same commercials all day long. I couldn't do it. First world problem.
First world problem.
Oh, the next one. I don't know. This is one of the reasons that I buy margarine, and I know it's awful buying margarine, but my butter is so cold that it rips my bread. I hate when the butter's chunky and cold. It's got to be soft. I can't do it unless it's soft.
Let's go back to first world problems of you eating margarine. Do not eat margarine. Stop it right now. Let's move on. Leave your butter out. Leave it out in a tray. That's what Italians do. They leave it in a tray all the time.
We used to do that until we moved to Florida. And then when you open up the tray, it's a melted puddle.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. Don't eat margarine. Don't.
I know. It's bad. I'm sorry.
God. Move on.
How about my charger isn't long enough? My phone charger isn't long enough. I usually have that problem when I'm at airports. And, there's another first world problem. Why the hell don't they have plugs at airports? Some airports now, I noticed the last one I went through, starting to have little charging stations here and there. But, again, we all have chargers. We all are plugging in our laptops at the airport. If you want to really make our experience enjoyable, put some damn plugs in.
They don't care if you make your experience enjoyable. I love it when you're walking by and you'll see like six teenagers on the floor on the side, and like there's one plug and all these people like sitting on the floor in these awkward places charging their phone. I think it's hilarious. My friend who's a police officer, he says that every time he sees a teenager, their phone screen is cracked and their battery is almost dead. Constantly. First world problem.
Now, I don't have the next one too much because I don't drink coffee, but the barista spelled my name wrong. You know how they write it on the cup?
Yeah.
I don't have that problem. Do you go to Starbucks much? I
realize that three cups of coffee buys a bale of hay. So, no. No.
Let's see here. The people I hired to mow my lawn came too early and woke me up.
That's hilarious.
There's a first world problem. And then the most important one, it happens every time. It's one way or the other. I have more salsa than I do chips, or I have more chips than I do salsa. It's one way or the other. You always have one more.
To try to make the nachos and cheese last together through the whole thing. It's exhausting. It's a first world problem. I totally agree.
Yes, I like ranch dip, and it's one of my few vices that way. And I like ranch dip, except that I always run out of chips, and then the ranch dip sits there for a week or two. I buy new chips, and then it's bad.
That's a first world problem.
It is a first world
problem.
Glenn
likes ranch dip way too much.
Yeah, I love ranch dip. So it's one of my.
Might as well put some margarine in that thing. That's about as healthy as that's getting.
See, now would you rather have me eat margarine or my ranch?
it's your gut. First world problems. Oh, God, this food is so unhealthy. We have food. That's the first
world problem. Yeah, exactly.
I love that list. That's great.
Or you go to a place, you go to a friend's house or whatever, or you go somewhere where they have free food, and we do a lot of events that have free food, and you complain about how it sucks. Okay.
And this free food is so bad.
Exactly. It's free food. All right. Let's just not complain about it anymore. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break for our song? We're going to come back. We have a segment coming up, a health segment coming up. Plus, if we have time, we'll throw in another list. And then we also have Victoria coming to us from England. And it sounds like the puppy needs out. So we'll play our song in the meantime, and we'll be back.
There's a space I can reach across when I try. My heart gets lost in your hold back. No matter what I do, well, you know I can read your mind. There's a wall that you hide behind. Won't you tear it down like I would for you?
like I would for you. Well, coming up next, we have part three in our series with Buy Me to Dewormers with Dr. David Ellison. I recorded these, and I think that everybody seemed to enjoy the first two. And, of course, we're at that time of year when we start worrying about our horses and being out there in the grass and deworming and all that stuff. So let's take a listen to Buy Me to Dewormers part three with Dr. David Ellison. We'll be back in a few minutes. Well, I'm back here with Dr. Ellison, and we are talking about deworming. He is the Director of Technical Services at Bimeda Incorporated. Dr. Ellison, today we're going to talk about fecal testing and some of the lesser-known equine parasites. We touched on fecal testing last month, and I want to get into more detail about that this month. So fecal testing is really a multi-part process, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And, you know, as helpful as fecal testing is, and it really is helpful in telling us about most of the major parasites, it's not going to tell us about all of them. For instance, if a horse has VOTS, which is nothing more than an intermediate form of a fly, which does not lay an egg, so you're not going to see anything in a fecal test that would indicate those. Pinworms, on the other hand, deposit their eggs on the skin of the horse near the tail. So we're not going to, you know, we're not going to pick up pinworm eggs on a fecal test, and of course, tapeworm eggs are very difficult to pick up on fecal testing. Less than 3% are going to be picked up in a fecal test. So there are still some parasites we need to be concerned about, even if our parasite profile, if you will, looks okay from our fecal test.
And I know summer sores is one, too, because we have a horse right here and have a big problem with that in Florida. It's something we see all the time is summer sores. Explain the summer sore. Other than I think they're just gross, but you can.
Well, they really are. A lot of granulation tissue, usually. And what causes that is that's two different lesser-known worms called Gratia and Habernema, which are stomach worms, and their eggs will hatch and the larva will be spread by flies that are feeding on a sore. Typically, those flies are going to feed around the mouth and nostrils of the horse, and that's how the life cycle is completed. But occasionally, if those flies are feeding on a fresh cut or on a sore, the larva will be left off, if you will, or deposited, and then they'll crawl into that sore. And now we've got live larva living in that sore, and that's why it has a tendency to not want to heal, and we get a lot of granulation tissue. So, and ivermectin is has the superior label claim for treating summer sores. It's very effective in killing those larvae.
I was going to ask you that. So ivermectin is the one for that?
Yeah, absolutely, right. So a product like ivermectin or Equimax would be very helpful, both for BOTS and for summer sores.
Now, as far getting back to the fecal testing, so you do the fecal test. Does that, when that comes back, will that tell me what dewormer I should be using? Because we've already talked about the different classes of dewormers. Will it actually tell me, or will my vet tell me that, okay, you've got this problem, this problem, this problem, and this is what you should use, and you know, you should use it this often or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, the fecal test is going to give you a place to start. But, you know, as we've discussed previously, with resistance issues that are out there, and, you know, an important thing for your listeners to remember is that resistance against dewormers by parasites is not a regional situation. It's not a geographic situation. It's usually a farm or ranch situation based on what products have been used previously on that place. And like we talked about before, we can do fecal egg count reduction testing at the time that we deworm and then repeat it 2 weeks later and look for that 90% reduction in parasite load. And if we see that, then we're okay. We can continue using that active product. If we don't see 90% or greater reduction, then we need to switch to a different active ingredient group.
Do we ever get to 100%?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, for instance, Equimax has a label claim for 100% control of tapeworms in horses. And there are some of the parasites that we are 100% effective against.
Okay, That's terrific to know. And, of course, you can find out all, about all the different products that Bimeda has, and you go to their website, bimedaequine.com. That's B-I-M-E-D-A, equine.com. Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus. Exodus Multidose, Equil, just a whole bunch of different ones on there. And the nice part about this website is you can go on there and you can find out what all of them are for. There's also a ton of information on deworming plans, fecal testing, a lot more about fecal testing than we had time to talk about today, resistance, and then all the different kinds of parasites that you can find as well, some of which we just touched on. So go to bimedaequine.com. Be sure to check out the Did You Know by Dr. Dave section, because Dr. Dave here answers all kinds of questions on that subject in a little more detail than we can get into here. That's at bimedaequine.com. Well, that's that. We appreciate them being a sponsor of the show and providing those segments for us. You know, I guess I didn't understand. I didn't get that pinworms didn't show up on fecal tests either. Jennifer, just texted me that, and that was one of the things I thought did show up. So, learning something here every day.
You learn something every day. I love it.
Hey, before we go on, I got a message from one of our listeners who Facebooked me and said, "Is it really good to have a Chinese restaurant beside the PetSmart?"
I didn't even think about that. Oh my gosh.
So, well, you know, those unwanted dogs and cats have to go somewhere. So,
Glenn, ridiculous. Hey, I've got a cool list for you, a list of the number of off-the-track thoroughbreds that are in Rolex this year. The Retired Racehorse Project made a list of all the different kind of numbers of OTTBs, and this is the highest. In 2011, there was 16, 12, there was 21, in 2013, there was 17, 2014, there was only 14 OTTBs, in 2015, there's 23 entered thoroughbreds, off-the-track thoroughbreds, in Rolex, Kentucky. How cool is that?
Wow, that's a lot. I didn't really think it was that many.
Yeah, 23 advanced event horses.
Wow.
That are qualified for Rolex and entered. And I was just going to go through.
They're full thoroughbreds?
All off the track. Off the track. I mean, well, some of them, I think the list, what I saw was one or two never raced, but and one wasn't registered, but they knew who the parents were. So parents, siren dam. But I'll just run through the list if you guys want. So you can kind of keep an eye out for these names. Anthony Patch, Lainey Ashker's horse.
Lainey Ashker,
this is in alphabetical order. AP Prime. And I thought, well, oh, my gosh, AP Indy has a – no, the son, no, his aptitude. This is the dad. AP Prime is Leah Langluskett's horse. Coal Creek is Elizabeth Snow's ride. Collection Pass will be ridden by Kate Chatterton. Donner, Lynn Samansky. Will be on Donner. Lisa Berry's horse is named FIS Prince Charming. When I was reading these articles, I don't have it in front of me, but they actually gave the racehorse name, and 99% of the racehorse names were changed to be event names.
Yeah.
Some of them were kept, but it just goes to show you they all want to get a fresh start too. And man, sometimes racehorses have really bad names.
Yeah, right.
Sarah Murphy has Fly Me Courageous. Anna Collier has Gleaming Road. Katie Frey has Houdini. Cody Sturgis rides Imperial Melody. Irish Rhythm is ridden by Rachel McDonough. And Irish Rhythm's name actually is Daniel Alexander. That's his racehorse name. They changed it to Irish Rhythm. Madison Park and Kyle Carter, Nonsensical and Emily Libby, Parker, James Alliston, Park Lane Hawk, William Fox Pitt, Pirate, Megan O'Donohue, Relentless Pursuit, Dana Woodstrand, Rise Against, Bunny Sexton, Shiraz, Cotton Colleen Rutledge, Simply Priceless, that's Elisa Wallace's horse. She rides OTTBs and Mustangs. She's so cool. Sound Prospect, Alexandra Knowles, Tsunami and Sally Cousins, and Vilas County, ridden by Werner Gevin, who's out of Georgia.
So is Elisa Wallace going to be on your week or on your list for next week for the long shot? And remember, we have to pick by next Monday who our picks for Rolex.
Oh yeah, yeah. She can definitely be a long shot. Her horse, Simply Priceless, is so beautiful and such a fantastic jumper. He's like Edward though. He gets so nervous in the dressage. And then throw him in that arena at Rolex. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles it and how she handles it. And she's been working on taking him tons of places and trying to get him okay with going everywhere and seeing everything. But, man.
Boy, if you have a horse like that, you definitely want them going. You want to be on Thursday. You praying that you get a Thursday pick because there's nobody in the audience on Thursday for dressage. So you're just hoping that that's the case.
You know, they did the draw, actually. I could probably tell you when she's going to go. So talk amongst yourselves, do the next news story, and I'll have an idea of when she's going to go.
All right, very good. Well, I just wanted to mention that the Driving Radio Show has come out for this week, as well as the Eventing Radio Show. If you want to learn more about Rolex over on the Eventing Radio Show, they had a chance to catch up with our friend Jessica Phoenix. She was on that show talking. Jessica just had her second baby. And she's going to Rolex. That baby can't be, 2 months old? I can't be more than 2 months old. And she's already going to Rolex and going to be competing there.
Oh, my God.
I know.
How does one do that? I'm sorry. Like, just your core strength is gone. She is ridiculous. I'm sorry.
She's Superwoman. She's Canadian Superwoman. That's what she is. She wouldn't have a big S on her chest. She'd have a big C. She just is Superwoman, yeah. And so they did a great show looking at Rolex coming up over on the Venting Radio Show, and that's out now too. So either one of those, you can check them out. The other shows will be coming out as the week goes along. What'd you find out?
Elisa's number 25, so she's going to go on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. She'll be really happy about that. It really is amazing the difference between Thursday and Friday when you go to Rolex because, 50,000 people show up on Saturday for the cross country. But, you probably have, 4,000 or 5,000 that show up Thursday and then maybe 5,000 to 8,000 that show up on Friday. And about 10 of those go watch dressage and the rest go shopping.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm not going. There's two Rolexes that I now have missed in the last, in the last probably 20 years. Because I started going to Rolex when I was like 9 or 10 years old, and we'd take a trip with my dad. My dad got married to his second wife Rolex weekend one time. I was so mad that I was missing Rolex for this sham of a wedding. I was so mad. I didn't go because I was like 9.5 months pregnant, and this year is my dad's birthday, and I'm flying across the country a couple weeks after Rolex with the baby, so his 70th birthday, making me skip Rolex because I didn't want to fly across the country back and forth.
If it makes you feel any better, you're going to stay at home with the USEF network on Saturday, and you're going to see more of it than you would if you'd been there.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm an online shop while I'm watching the USEF network.
There you go. See, that can solve the problem. Yeah, there you are. That's a good
My
idea, actually.
Hurt is bad.
That's right. Your feet won't hurt. You won't be in the sun.
I'm fine.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
It is
and
that time of the week. When
that
we check in. Go ahead.
I was going to say that sound means that our friend Victoria Spicer is here from Horse and Country TV, and she's got the European Report. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I've always wanted to ask you this. Do your friends call you Victoria, or do they call you Vic or Vicky, or is it always Victoria?
Usually something more offensive than that. I answer to Vicky or Victoria. But when I moved to London, I got my first job at Horse and Hound magazine many years ago. I use Victoria because nobody can misspell it on email, so you don't have to always be like, no, it's CKY. And everyone just knows how to spell Victoria. So that's why I went for the full title.
I love it. I love it. I think it just sounds so perfect that we're talking to somebody in England in Victoria. Victoria, I love it. Perfect. Very regal. I love it. So talk to us of what's going on. What's going on over there across the pond?
So we've had a news story today about a riding school in the Welsh capital city, Cardiff. And the riding school was in danger of having to be closed down because the council were funding it and they couldn't afford to pay for the maintenance. And what's happened is a group of prisoners or offenders have actually come to work at the stables and redid all the fencing and built new stable doors as part of their community service. And so it meant the riding school can stay open. So it's quite a nice story there.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. So the title of the article is Riding School Saved from Closure by Offenders.
I gather that's not a term that you guys use. So as in prison offenders, just people that are in prison or, in custody.
Okay. I'm like, what? Sexual offenders? I don't know. I didn't know what it was. So
criminal offenders, people who have done a crime. There you go.
Good. Now, you guys had this is really a beautiful story. There was a charity event, a charity ride. Who was the ride supposed to benefit?
It was a cancer charity, although I think from what's happened, I think the charity are stepping back and saying, hey, we're nothing to do with this.
We don't want your money.
It's basically a cancer charity, and in Ireland, and somebody's organised this charity ride with the proceeds going to this charity. But unfortunately, it all went somewhat wrong because people on the ride ended up jumping a small beaten up car, and there's been a lot of controversy about there, and people posting screen grabs on social media of apparently the organisers saying, "Oh, here's the surprise jump in the ride." And when they parked it in a ditch next to a fence, so, you know, it looked vaguely like a cross-country fence, but, of course, just not safe. And these are not top-class event riders. These are little, you know, riding horses. And a few horses were injured or fell at this fence, and the glass was broken in the car windscreen. So it's caused a lot of outcry over here.
I think we lost Jamie. Jamie, you still there?
I'm here. Sorry.
Okay.
I said let me just paint the picture. My mic cord came out. we've got a charity ride that is all proceeds are going to go to this cancer center. But and these are just like normal people that are going to go out and like it's kind of like a fox hunting course or just a cross country course.
Ride. So sometimes fun rides are all just kind of walk and trot, and other ones we've got quite a few jumps, and you'll cover cross country courses. So a real mix. But the intention was, you know, a good fun ride. And the Irish fox hunting community are certainly known for being brave and jumping anything. So they're a little bit more laid back over there as to what kind of obstacles they're jumping. But whoever came up with this idea, it wasn't the brightest. And it really has caused a lot of outcry.
Well, it says here that so there's this car and everybody's jumping in, people are getting hurt, horses are flipping over. Well, the organizer's like, I didn't tell anybody to jump it. No, the people that did jump it deviated from the ride, which apparently is not true. It was supposed to be part of it. So anyway, well, sorry the charity didn't get its money, and I'm sorry horses got hurt, but man, you can't do anything anymore with social media because they will tell on you.
They will. I mean, there's so much great stuff about social media and our sport, and it, you know, connects you to top riders in a way that's never happened. And when there's something, you know, urgent, like a horse is in need of a foster foal or a foster mare, or if something's happened or there needs to be help, it's such a great tool for that. But there is also, you know, a lot of people who like to get hold of something, and things can just go absolutely crazy on social media and sometimes spiral out of control. I'm not saying in this case, because I think it was a really irresponsible thing, but I've seen top riders who one minute are hailed as heroes and the next minute are the subject of endless online debate.
Yes. I know a little bit about that. I posted a video and it went viral, and some people said I did a great job, and the other people were like, you know, armchair horse trainers telling me how horrible I was. So I get it.
Very unnecessary. Right? But, you know, I heard of one the other day that somebody saw a picture, a headshot of a horse, and suggested that the horse had laminitis just from looking at a picture. I think this is not a vet. You know, this is, it's just people sitting at home, and it's great that we can all share advice, but I'm quite careful online about not telling people, you know, what to do or anything like that, because I just think there's an awful lot of armchair experts out there who are maybe a little bit too vocal with giving their advice.
Yes. Well, now I want to deviate from your next story, because it's coming up very soon, and I want to know how incredibly popular on your channel, Horse and Country TV, the thing I'm the most jealous for, it's got to be the most popular show. Glenn, the new Adventures of Black Beauty run back-to-back at 4 and 4:30.
Oh, God. Please tell me that it's a one-time thing and nobody's watching.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know if you remember, but we brought back the new Adventures of Black Beauty, which is the one set in New Zealand. It's not based on the Victorian English novel of the same name. And we brought it back last year, and yeah, it's on all the time on our channel. So
is this the one that came on in the 80s?
I think it's a 90s version. So the 80s hit series was massive, and then this is the 90s version where Black Beauty moved to New Zealand. So, yeah.
It's got to be the same one I'm thinking of, though, because her name is Vicky. On her way home, Vicky meets Manfred, who seems to be very secretive about a parcel he just received. That is a whole episode, Glenn. It's so fantastic.
I'm going to line up for that one.
Man-powered plane for its first flight, and the skeptical crowd turns up on the beach to watch as it. That doesn't even sound horsey. This is definitely not based on the books. You might actually like it, Glenn.
Oh, she read that entire book on our show, one bloody page after another.
I love that book. You're preaching to the wrong person here, because I love BT. My dad bought it for me when I was a little girl, and I must have read it 100 times. So I'm a massive fan of her.
Victoria's breaking up. We can't hear her anymore. She's breaking up. Sorry, Victoria.
No, your video of the week, we're huge fans of Monty Roberts. And what is this, what is the Backstage Pass?
Backstage Pass is a regular series that we have on the channel. And it basically goes round with Monty to all his UK venues when he does his demonstrations. So basically, then we get to go backstage and find out what's happening and bring you all the highlights of each demo that he does. And Mel is the horse he's working with in this clip. And you just see how incredibly nervous he is. And, you know, he's really flighty and wants to run away, and Monty's working with him to desensitize him, and you see him make really quick progress in the video clip. And the entire show is currently on Horse and Country TV, so you can watch that at the moment.
Okay. Can you watch it online?
If you subscribe, but you have to live in Sweden or the UK or Ireland, so but you can watch the video, the little teaser clip.
Okay, well, all of our listeners that live in those countries, tell us how it goes.
Sorry.
Yeah, Victoria, we've been doing this with you for what, maybe 3 years now? How long have you worked there?
Yeah, 3 years, I think.
You started coming on soon after you started there. And we've been doing this, and every week for 3 years, we've been saying, when is it going to come to the United States? But because beside the new Adventures of Black Beauty, there's actually stuff I would want to watch that's on Horse and Country TV. So any progress, tell us something good.
We have another new country in the pipeline, which is still top secret, but it's a European country, and we're very excited by it. But to be honest, the more we grow, and the more we spread, the more likelihood is that we come to the States.
Well, it's incredibly difficult to get into the cable market over here. I understand that. But hurry up. Okay?
We'll try.
Now, the blog of the week actually belongs to you. You're the author of the blog of the week. And we talked to somebody that was actually at this event, the Longines Global Champions Tour, on the beach in Miami.
Yes, indeed. Do you like the way I choose the blog of the week and I also wrote it? Not all, but never mind. But yes, I didn't get to go to Miami. I was very gutty, so I have been there a couple of times before and I just loved it. And I just thought, what an amazing venue. But I'd love to have heard the show and heard what your listener who went to the venue thought of it. But it just looked amazing on the pictures. Brilliant win for Scott Brash again. And I just love the idea of these people in the sea or having a sunbathe, having a nice time, and suddenly seeing really top-class show jumping going on. I think it's a great thing for our sport to expose it to people that might not ever consider going to show jumping.
Victoria, you used the right word, expose it, because apparently, according to Aaron, it was the only place she's ever been, and she's traveled the world, where she could sit in the bleachers and watch show jumping and watch naked people sunbathing. So there was a lot of exposing going on. Yeah.
I'm quite impressed that Scott Brash won then, and he didn't get distracted sunbathing.
Well, I got to tell you, too, another thing that was very distracting, and you're going to have to put in next year to go if whenever it happens again down there, is they did such a high-class event that the VIP and media tent, they had, you know, the wait staff, the waiters that were going around serving people food. They hired all male models.
Oh.
Only, I know. All male models were serving people.
I would really be impressed by that. But as I said, I've been to Miami twice, and everyone I saw was really tanned and beautiful. So I'm just convinced that's just what everyone looks like in Miami. So it wasn't the case that especially hard models. It was that there was nobody else to choose.
That's true. Everybody is a male model in Miami. Well, we hope that hopefully you get to go next time and let us know ahead of time, and I'll make sure that the Horse Radio Network sends me and we'll cover it together.
I'm drink a few cocktails in the VIP tent afterwards, I think.
We would tell nobody. What happens in Miami stays in Miami. Right.
Exactly.
Well, Victoria, thank you so much for joining us and being a part of the show. As always, we really appreciate it, and we hope you have a good week.
And you guys, nice to speak to you.
Thanks, Victoria.
Nice to speak to you, too.
Well, I'm glad her sound held out today. That's always fun to have Victoria on. And I don't know if I could sanction the two of you in the same place together with male models, because Chad then would be calling me and saying that, I don't know, it would be bad. I think there would be trouble.
What happens in Miami stays in Miami.
I don't know why. You know, next year we just might take a ride down, because it is so close. It's so close. It's probably about 5 hours from us. But it might be worth a ride next year. I think they're going to try and do it every year. Can you imagine how much this cost to put on, just with everything? And it was free admittance. They didn't charge anything. Now, we talked to Emily yesterday a little bit about it, and I asked her about it, and she said, well, they were charging entry fees, so they did get entry fees as far as the classes were concerned, and it was an official show, so there was, you know, three to four days of classes going on. But still, the amount they paid to have the footing put in and the tents and just everything.
Well, not to mention that, but also, wasn't the prize money like $400,000? Where is the sport getting the money? Ask Emily that. I need to know, because I need to let the eventing community know. But, I mean, seriously, where is that money coming from?
I know. I said the same thing. And then they do it in L.A., too. They do it. They don't do it on the beach. Where do they do it in L.A.? They get the Coliseum or whatever. But they do it in L.A. in October, because they actually hired an airplane with a little banner behind it to go by. I saw a picture of this advertising the one in October in L.A. was flying over the whole time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And then it still goes back to my original question. Rolex and Longines. What the heck? Who's buying them? How do they make their money that they can spend $100 million a year on advertising in the horse world?
You know what? Until they sponsor our show, I'm just going to let you know right now that just goes to show you how overpriced those watches are.
That's right. That's right. I agree. Until they sponsor our show, and then we'll be saying how wonderful those underpriced watches are.
What a bargain.
Well, let's call it a day. We'll be back tomorrow. Mary Kitzmiller will be here. It's our first time talking to her since Road to the Horse. I'm excited to hear how she's doing and what her plans are here going forward. And I have her banner. I got a Mary Kitzmiller banner that's now hanging in my studio, right beside the Minions, actually, hanging there right beside the Minions. So Mary will be here tomorrow. And then Friday's really bad ads. You want to get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Send them in. Go to Craigslist. Unfortunately, Jennifer didn't find a bad ad today. She found a really cute pony that was for sale, a driving pony here in Florida, and she posted it. And I'm going, oh, it's so cute. Anyway, she distracted me with that. Yeah, she distracted me with that. We'll be back here Friday with really bad ads, so get them in today.
Have a great day, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.
And this is the point where you sing the music because I can't find it again. Oh, there it is. We're good.
What is that, Lucas?
Let's end with this.
Manna.
Yeah. Say it again. What is that? What is that?
Manna.
Minion.
Manna.
Minion.
Manna.
There you go.
Thank you, Jamie.